Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue. Invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. Something you'd like to talk about? Let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is the most significant week on the calendar as far as Christianity is concerned. Uh-huh. It's the final week of Jesus' life. I love how the gospel writers kind of lay out the story from the beginning of the week to the end. It starts with a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We celebrated that yesterday with Palm Sunday. And I love that picture of Jesus riding on a donkey, entering into Jerusalem, and the crowds laying palm branches out before him as he travels through. What was that a sign of? It was a sign of reverence. They were looking to him to be their long-awaited king, that one who would assume the throne of David, who would take over and be the king of Israel and lead Israel back to its preeminent spot in the world to be an ultimate blessing. But that was not to be. Jesus was not that type of king. His march really represents his march into our hearts. That's his triumphal entry. When he enters into your heart and becomes Lord and King in your life. That's what that signifies. And he does that into the lives of every person who responds to him by faith through this gospel message. So it starts with that triumphal entry. Then he gathers his disciples and he has time with them. And you can imagine if you knew that your hour was just soon to come, you would want to gather those that you loved and impart as much information into their minds as you possibly could. And that's what Jesus did. And we see that in John chapter 13 through 17. And I love how he starts this in John 13, 1. It says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. His death was imminent. He came into this world. He occupied a body that had been prepared for him, and he was going to offer that body as the final sacrifice for sin, that payment that would set us free from sin and death. And so he knew that time had come. And so it says this, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So he had been loving these disciples, and now he was going to show the full extent of his love for them. And he assumed the role of a servant. He girded himself with a towel, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet. That was the most humble job on the planet at that particular time. And he bent down and washed the disciples' feet. And we know that Peter did not understand what was going on. And, you know, as Peter would so often do, he would just start talking. He said, Lord, just not my feet. Give me a whole bath. And Jesus was saying, you don't get it. You've already been set apart. You're already my own. I am just loving you right now. I am just reaching down to you to where you are right now and showing you what love is all about. And then he goes on to say, do you not understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So what was he showing the disciples? Well, their new way of life. Their new way of life was to love others just as God in Christ had loved them. And he goes on to say at the end of this chapter in verse 33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." And then he says this, "A new command I give you, love one another." Well, why is this new? I mean, that's what the Old Testament said, that we're to love one another. Well, here's what makes this command new. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Do we want proof of the resurrection? Do we want proof of the reality that Christ is alive? Well, we see it when this verse is lived out in our day-to-day lives, when we learn to love one another just as Christ has loved us. That is the greatest evidence for the reality of the resurrection that the world will ever see. And that's what Jesus wants to make known to his disciples. And that's why he spent the amount of time he did in imparting this good news. And so Jesus this week, he's going to offer himself as that final sin offering, the one that would take away the sin of the world, that would remove the barrier that stood between God and man, that would give us free access into God's presence. Then he was going to be raised back to life. And in being raised back to life, he was going to come and live inside of us so that we could carry out this command of loving one another. That's what this gospel message is all about. The Christ who died, the Christ who was raised back to life, is now living in us, his children, so that love can be apparent in this world.
That's Basic Gospel, friends, and you've tuned to Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines if you'd like to come in and join this part of the conversation. If you'd like to broach some other subject, why, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Toll free across the country, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Stratford, Connecticut, and talk with Nicole listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I just had some questions, you know, about Christianity. I'm new to Christianity. I just, you know, over the past couple of weeks felt like very geared towards reading the Bible, and I've started reading the Bible, the New Testament, and I'm very, you know, I'm trying to get very involved and understand, you know, what I'm reading, but I feel a little overwhelmed. And I was just wondering, you know, ever since I started reading the Bible, I felt like I was flying high, like I was just doing great. Everything was great. And now I'm feeling not as great as I was feeling. So I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, it does make sense, Nicole. I know when I was just really getting started, I made a vow to God my freshman year of college, and I said, you know, God, I'm going to be your guy. And I started out reading the Bible, and boy, that was fun and exciting. And then after a while, that excitement waned, and, you know, I just kind of started doing the same old things that I used to do. And started feeling guilty and all of that stuff. Well, the problem with me, Nicole, was that I was looking at the Bible as a self-improvement book, something that could make me a better person. And I missed the real story. The Bible is a story about Jesus. It's his biography, basically. It's God the Father's testimony about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And when we go into the Word of God, we need to go into the Word of God with that mindset. Lord, I am reading these pages to get to know you, to understand more about you, to find out what you accomplished for me through your death, burial, and resurrection. And when we go into the Word of God with that mindset, then just for some reason, Jesus starts jumping off every single page. And there's this excitement about the love that he has for us that was demonstrated through his death on the cross that can be made real in our hearts through faith in him, through what the Bible calls new birth.
So the way that I'm feeling is more guilty if I do things that I feel that I've been reading that I shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
Is my guilt.
Understand that. So let's talk about that for a few minutes, Nicole. This week, as I just read in this passage in John 13, this week, 2,000 years ago, was the final week of Jesus' life. He headed to Jerusalem, and he knew that when he would arrive in Jerusalem, that there was going to be a moment in that week where folks would come and arrest him, that he would be tried. Let me just kind of go through this just a little bit, Nicole. And he was going to be arrested and then tried and then convicted, and he would be sentenced to death by crucifixion. Well, Jesus knew that was going to happen to him, and he did that voluntarily. He offered himself as a sin sacrifice. So, Nicole, here's what that means to you. You read in the Bible that you should be doing this, and then you don't do that, and so you feel guilty. So you would say that's sin, right?
Right.
So what did Jesus do with your sins? That's the big
question.
He
forgave our sins. He died for our sins.
He died for our sins. So he died for your sins, Nicole. So what do your sins deserve? What kind of punishment do your sins deserve according to the Bible?
To repent.
That's what we say we're supposed to do. But if you were dragged into a court of law, mm-hmm. and there's angels kind of sitting in the jury box, and they're listening to all the evidence about your life, what would they say about you? They would declare you guilty of sin, right?
Right.
And then what would they say the punishment would be? Because there's got to be a punishment for sin, right?
Right.
So if you steal something, you go to jail. If you murder somebody, you might go to jail for life. You might be executed by lethal injection. That's the mm-hmm. punishment. So in the Bible, it says the wages of sin is death. The punishment of sin is death. So what punishment
oh,
do you...
Oh, I get it. Mm-hmm.
So
right,
what,
like...
So what punishment do you deserve? What punishment do your sins deserve, Nicole? Based
is
on
to not be with Jesus, to not be
right.
like with your eyes open, to not have this new life that he died for us to have.
Okay. So your sins deserve death. So that's what the heavenly court declared about you. You deserve to die. Well, mm-hmm. Jesus comes on the scene, and he raises his hands and says, I love Nicole so much that I want to stand in her place. The punishment mm-hmm. she deserves, I want to take on her behalf. And so he volunteered to be the sin offering for you to take your punishment, the punishment that you justly deserved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when he died, God the Father said, I'm satisfied with that sin offering on Nicole's behalf. And 2,000 years later, this gospel message hits your heart. You respond to it by faith, and you say, Jesus, I trust you for what you accomplished for me 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Right? Okay. Now, here's what you receive, Nicole. This is good news. I mean, it is mm-hmm. really, really good news. And
right.
I want you to fully realize what you have received because of the blood of Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read a passage out of the book of 1 John.
Okay.
1 John, it's going to be in the second chapter, and it's going to be the 12th verse. 1 John 2:12. And it says this, my little children, I write these things because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
So what has Jesus done with your sins?
He's taken them away. He's taken the blame for them.
Okay. And as a result, you are forgiven, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me read another one. Acts 10:43. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So have you believed in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
So what have you received?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay, but based on this verse, let me read it to you again. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him, that's you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, receives. This is what you receive. You receive forgiveness of sins through his name. So what have you received through Jesus' name?
Forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins. For how many sins?
For all the sins.
For all the sins. So Jesus has already taken your punishment, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness is yours.
Right.
Okay. Are you willing to thank the Lord for that?
Yes, I am. I do thank the Lord, and that's where I'm coming into a problem, because ever since I've been reading the Bible, I've been just thanking and praying and being grateful, and just, I guess it's today where I feel, I don't know if I can be tested, if I'm being tested, or if I'm just guilty, or what's going on, but I just...
Well, sometimes, just Nicole, we get our eyes off of what Jesus has accomplished for us and onto ourselves, and that's when we start feeling... that sense of guilt. The other thing that we do is that we try to live the Christian life through human effort. You know, we try to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps. You know, we're gonna do it for God, and that's when we fall flat on our faces, and that's when we start feeling guilty again. But God never intended us to live that way. That Christ.
So
who,
maybe I'm trying too hard to be too perfect at once.
That's right.
And God, then when I do something minor that's bad, I'm laying the guilt on myself because.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So what Christ wants you to realize is that he died and was raised again so that he could come and live in you and live his life through you, and you allow him to do that by faith.
So by faith, by letting him guide my decisions, and
right, it's not about human effort. It's about trusting in the resurrected Christ to live his life through you, and it makes a big, huge difference.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. I do understand.
Okay, let me do this for you. We have a wonderful resource. It's called Resurrection Power for Daily Living. And what you're experiencing is a lack of power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we want to connect you to the power for daily living. His name is Jesus. He's alive, and guess what? He's living in you. And this series will... Well, I think will help solidify what it means to be in Christ and what it means to have him live his life through you. It's the thing that changed my life. I mean, it's the very thing that got me out of those feelings that you're experiencing and resting in the power of Christ to do in and through me what only Christ can do. I want to send this to you. You listen through it, and will you call us back?
Yes.
Oh, we would love that. So, Nicole,
yes, I will.
Okay.
I appreciate your time, and I thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, Nicole. Thanks for your call. You hold the line, okay?
Thank you.
And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a hold of that series, Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry, and it's a perfect offer for this particular time of year, this Resurrection Month, the Resurrection Power for Daily Living by Bob Christopher. You can find the link on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak to our operator to make your gift and request your copy. That number is 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go back to New York to Jay, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jay.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I wish the show was actually longer. you touch a lot of things on your show. One of the things I wanted to know is in the Torah, it stated that Moses was told by God that the people had to plant, reap, and sow for 6 years and rest the land on the seventh year.
Yes.
Now, if you remember, the Israelites didn't do that, and they were punished for it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that an agricultural law that we should still practice today, or was that only for the days of Moses and the Israelites during the Exodus?
Well, specifically, it was for Moses and the Israelites. What God was trying to get through to Israel was that he was their God, they were his people, and they could trust him to bring them through that seventh year. And in fact, there was the Jubilee year after the 49th year, so the 50th year, when all the land was supposed to just lie fallow, and everybody would get their land back if they'd sold it and all that kind of thing. And the idea was, will God actually follow through with his promise and give us the kinds of harvests before those rest years that we can live on the harvest even when we're not planting? And they didn't respond to God the way he wanted them to do it, and that was one of the reasons why their captivity in Babylon was 70 years. So that was the law part that was trying to teach them that God would take care of them. Quite apart from the law, we know when we look at agriculture today that you've got to let the land rest. You can't just continually plant the same crop year after year after year without depleting the soil. And so they rotate crops, or people will allow the land to lie fallow. And so God was using the natural reality of doing smart agriculture and trying to teach them a spiritual lesson. So no, we don't have to follow that Mosaic covenant issue today, but we can still see the picture out of the Old Testament, and we can see the picture in our own agricultural practices today. One of the problems today, for example, is that we try to do with chemicals in the dirt what rotating crops and all of that would do for us. It just takes it longer if we rotate the crops. And we've reaped what we've sown, so to speak, by poisoning the land in some cases. So God was doing the right thing. He was using natural growth law patterns and all of that to teach a spiritual truth.
And that spiritual truth was walking by faith. Trusting the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so as believers in Christ, that's what he wants for us.
Yes.
No, because it sounds like something that we should do today, especially in poorer countries.
We should practice intelligent agriculture today, but the Mosaic Covenant is no longer in effect for people. It was never in effect for non-Jews, for the Gentiles. And so today we get a chance, because of the resurrection, of having the Holy Spirit living inside of us, to say, you need to pay attention to this in this particular situation. It's agriculture.
Okay.
Well, Jay, thanks for your question.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You call anytime, okay?
Yes, indeed. And guys, let's remind our listeners of this fantastic conference coming up. It's called Stand 2014. And it's coming up June 19th through the 21st, as a matter of fact. All the information is available online at stand2014.com. Or if you go to our regular website, basicgospel.net, you'll find a link there as well. But again, June 19th through the 21st, hope you'll take the opportunity to plan a little bit in advance. Come be a part of this. Whatever part of the country or in Canada that you're listening, we want you to be a part of stand2014.com, finding solid footing in a broken world. Also, the resources that we have are available from store.basicgospel.net, a rich resource. We hope you'll take advantage of that as well. Of course, Bob Christopher CD, The Resurrection CD series, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, is available during Resurrection Month, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number is 1-800-727-2828 for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Well, again, thanks to those of you who called to be a part of this broadcast, and thanks to those of you who tuned in to listen and be edified by what you've heard. We'll be back tomorrow and do it again. Till then, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. As I said, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.